If you are barefoot in any 24-hour public establishment, even private establishment, because like even being barefoot in someone's home is a pretty, you know, risky take, you know. Let's just say you're towing down a fine line of gangrene, and that's why most of y'all's toenails look black and yellow. Black and yellow. kind of looks like someone just had some dried out spicy mustard on some of y'all's toes. Even though, you know, some people are into that stuff. A little nibble, nibble. But I'm not, you know, selling my feet pics online. But I'm pretty sure there's a audience out there for, you know, when you got the little fungus on the toenail, you know. I'm sure there's an audience for that. There's an audience for everything. Everyone will pay for something out there. So, yeah. it all stemmed from, which I guess draw my inspiration. And be like, man, you know what? These are the type of things that gets you to press record, right? I went, there's a 24-hour establishment nearby. It's a Dunkin'. I went there after work. And I walk in. You know, like, sometimes it's just something that draws your eye about people. It's like, you know, we are so used to people wearing shoes that everyone, like, appears at a certain height. Like, you look at someone like, yeah, that's about the right height. And then, like, someone looks a little shorter or taller than, for whatever reason, you presume they look like. I don't know if it's, like, that human instinct. We just know when something's not right. Typically, I'm not looking at people's feet. But she's a little flat-footed. And so, I look down, and I'm not joking. It is like 12:20 a.m., you know, after midnight. She's in there picking up a Uber Eats order, which, to be honest, I don't think she was, because I don't want my Uber Eats driver being barefoot. Like, I feel like, look, I understand it's a self-contracted entrepreneur, you know. It's funny when people like Uber drivers and DoorDashers are like, oh no, we're independent contractors. It's like, no, they could literally fire you. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's like, oh, I get to wear what I want to work. It's like, yeah, that's why your tips suck. but I look down her feet and I see nothing but feet. And I'm like, you know, I'm not a person that judges. I'm not a person, you know, she seemed very kind of polite. She wasn't mean or anything, but I don't know what, like, it's one thing if it's like the summertime and it's like 4 p.m., you know, you're with a group of young lads and chads and you walk in somewhere, you have your sandals in the car, maybe they're a little sandy from the lake. And you're like, you know what, whatever. It's like there's a certain vibe that has to match the barefoot Contessa. I would not want this bitch cooking my food, I'll tell you that. She'd be the type to make you some hot dogs wrapped in some moldy sandwich bread. not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. But she'd be like, home cooking, fine dining. Which actually is a thing trending out there. There's like people that will, well, you know, these people bring on themselves, you know, the wives that or the girlfriends that like want to post and brag about what they cook for their man, and it is like pork and beans and hot dogs and like some cheese toast with literally just toast, and they microwaved it with cheese, you know, like when you were so lazy as a child. Instead of, like, you know, getting the pan out and making a grilled cheese, you just put a couple pieces of bread, some cheese in between, put in the microwave for, like, 20 seconds till it's kind of melted, even though the bread is burning hot, and then whatever. Tasted fine. But I wouldn't go online and be like, hey, guys, look at this concoction I just made, you know. which, did you, there's actually this guy making wine Mountain Dew. Yes, he like makes his own alcohol. It's like purely proof. And this guy is making wine. Like, he's in the process of, I guess, like, finding it. Not finding it. You know, refining it. You know, going through the wine process, whatever the fuck it is. Letting it age. And it's legitimately Mountain Dew wine. I don't know. Like, that's one of those cool things. It sounds cool in theory. But if you're, like, a Mountain Dew addict, right? That's one issue. Imagine Mountain Dew flavored with alcohol. And you like that too. Now you got two issues. Like, that's the thing you gotta be careful about, flavoring, adding good flavor to everything. You know, it's the dangers with like pre-workouts or protein powders. Is that sometimes some of these things, like, it's so mixed well together, it tastes so good that, like, you're basically just consuming like a Chips Ahoy chocolate shake. You're basically consuming just like a strawberry lemonade juice with this pre-workout, and the effects of it is just mixed in so well. And sometimes you get so attached to the taste of something, you kind of, the benefit or the effect of the product itself, that what you got it for, quote unquote, is kind of subsided. And that's a dangerous thing when we start making. We already have a soda issue in this country, you know. I'm not a big soda drinker, but I am an energy drink, which is like, oh, it's no sugar. But it's like, I love the taste of it. The effects of it, cool. But honestly, the taste of it is what gets me coming back. So if you start mixing great taste with alcohol, that nostalgic taste, like, especially somewhere something a kid can consume at a young age. Mountain Dew. We got 5-year-olds drinking Mountain Dew. That's fine. Now, you know, become like 30. And now, it's like people always want to hold on to their childhood. Now we got Mountain Dew and wine. Like, that, you know, it's a weird differentiating. But yeah, Barefoot. She seems like she'd be the type to make some. She seems like the time to buy like some white wine and then pour some, like, just some Mountain Dew in there and be like, "See, honey, I made some Mountain Dew wine for you." And it's like, you gotta be careful. I think you actually killed someone, bitch. But yeah, Barefoot bitches. look. Your body, your choice, your feet, you know, your feet, no pun intended, but I'm smelling defeat in the air. Jesus, it's funny how when anyone says no pun intended, they literally actually mean all pun intended. So it really should be all pun intended. But like, you know, you shouldn't honestly even, I don't know where it's safe to be bare feet anymore. Not even in your own home is it safe to be bare feet, you know? Bare feet. two bears, one grave. Someone should do a diss track on me. But yeah, I haven't heard the diss track of the two bears, one grave thing for two bears in one cave. But apparently it hit home. And I don't know how that would feel to have a diss track made of you. When you're not, like, battle rapping someone, like, you're just minding. And someone makes a diss track that's about you. And you have to know, I was like, damn. He's actually 100% correct on all these things. calling him, lost all this weight, you still got alcohol face. Like, damn. It's something like he lost all this weight just to, and all it did was expound his alcohol face. It's like, damn, that's kind of, Jesus. To have an unasked diss track made about you is kind of a weird thing. But at the end of the day, if you do a lot of things, you know, irk people or rub people the wrong way, someone's got a diss track out there for you. Everyone's got a diss track out there for you. So yeah. This love has taken its toll. I mean, this is the first time I've recorded in like 2.5 weeks. But yeah, at least put socks on. At least put one of those, like, you know, at least walk around with like some Walmart paper bags around your feet. You're disgusting. And then again, most of my folds in them anyway, so I don't know. You know, it doesn't bother me. You know, she seemed like she had okay feet, you know. They're nothing I would, you know, lick or anything. But, you know, at least it was matched up to her body frame. It's always weird when someone's feet is either way too disproportionate to the rest of their body, you know. And that's the thing, us guys. You know, I don't think it's really about the feet. Like, even guys are into feet like that, right? Like, the guys are really into feet. Like, they see a girl in sandals and it's painted right. And they're like, oh my God. She's got the perfect curve. They're evenly proportioned, you know, perfectly trimmed together. I think what it is, guys, we are about proportions, you know. We like portions on our plate when you cook it, but we like proportions all around. You know, I actually had this conversation, it was like months ago. You know, yeah, those guys are like, man, this girl, she has a, it's like, this girl has a fat ass, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's nice. You know, and you guys start to get like, are you an ass or a tit guy? You know, you concede. You know, you give them the real rule. And what I notice talking to guys, it is not just about a singular body part that stands out. It is the proportions to the whole body, top to bottom. Like, it is not about having the biggest rack. It is not about having the biggest caboose. It is not about having, you know, being the thinnest. It's not about being the thickest. You know? It's like a girl is like the perfectly made milkshake. Do you want it to be where I have to get a spoon every time? You know, too chunky? I don't know. To each their own. I don't know. But do you want it to be basically a liquid? No. You want that nice, like, I can eat this, you know, I can suck this through a straw with ease. But, you know, if I want to get a little spoon, you know, I could get a little spoon and enjoy it just the same, you know. We want it all, you know. You know, girls want guys with big-ass dicks and fucking jacked, you know, jacked body, head to toes, you know. With good grooming, you know, good hygiene. And that's fine. But it's about proportion. You know? You want a guy to be, like, relatively in shape. You know? At least, like, relatively okay in all areas. You know? You don't want a guy to be so bad in one area that it kind of overshadows his good sides. You know? I don't know. It's all about proportions. And, so, basically, girls are just the perfect milkshake. Not, you know, I don't want too much in the milkshake. Like, I don't need 8 different flavors. Just give me a couple good mixtures in there. It's like when you go to these frozen yogurt shops or these ice cream places. Like, I don't care to have these free 85 toppings. Like, there's no need to put 20 fucking toppings. It cancels each other out. It fucks up the taste. I just need 3 good toppings and a really good flavor. Like, worry about the genesis of the flavor of the ice cream, and then 3 or 4 toppings, and it's good. Everything else just kind of, it becomes desensitized to everything else. It becomes diluted, you know. There is something about having too much of something in one. So yeah, anyways, moral of all that is wear socks, wear something. Like, you know, I spent, like, these 24-hour Waffle Houses, these Dunkin' Donuts, these gas stations, like, you should not, out of all places, these are not the places to be walking barefooted. People that go in the places after midnight, you should know, probably aren't caring too much what's at the bottom of their feet, alright? Places are open 24 hours after midnight are either full of drunk people, homeless people that probably have nowhere to sleep or probably just need somewhere to relax, you know, get some free coffee, get free this, you know, get a little hookup. Probably just need someone to little sleep a little bit. And you're going to walk in there barefoot? They're probably walking there barefoot. At least don't spread any diseases to anyone out here. Don't get anyone sick that can't, you know, afford to take care of themselves when you can obviously afford to buy fucking shoes. God, I don't know. The thing is, all of it, it doesn't even bother me. Like, I didn't see it and it irked my day. I was just like, really? That's what we're doing now. That's how low of a standard we've set for ourselves. But yeah, anyways, I've gone way too long on that. All right, guys, welcome to episode 270 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Recording this on March 22nd. Jesus, sorry, like 1/4 through the year, I think. 2024. Recording this at 3:53 p.m. Eastern. Yes, I got a little late starting it today. But, yeah, been a little bit of a drought. Ooh, it's been kind of crazy past week or so. But you know what? We are back on schedule. I am so excited. I will actually, for the first time, and I'm not exaggerating, in over probably 4 or 5 years at a job, I'm actually going to have a whole week off. Like, you know, it's one of those things you don't, like, I'm just not very good at, quote unquote, taking advantage of certain things like PTO or just time off from a job. Like, I didn't know you could really do that and get paid for it. You know, I guess I never really had a job, or at least I wasn't in a position at a job where that was a thing. Like, most jobs I work, you know, you're at the lowest common denominator, and you just kind of, hey, you either here, you get paid, or you're not, and you don't get paid. You know, that's just kind of what it is. And so, yeah. And you know, one thing I worry about, I wouldn't say worry, but it got me thinking, like, I don't know if I should prepare what I should do for the whole week, or if I just treat it like any other time off I have, and just kind of like, whatever the day brings, whatever I feel like doing, or should I actually have a plan to maximize the week, you know? Part of me knows I should take advantage of it and try to do as much things as possible, but part of me just kind of wants to wake up and do what I want to do and not know what that may come with that day. It's a weird thing, you know? It got me thinking, and you know what exposed me? I've been so caught up for years and years of just being a quote-unquote hard worker and all that bullshit. That how much does it really mean? You know, on good days, it means good. And on days where it's shit, it's really just like, why the fuck am I trying so hard for no fucking reason at a certain point? You know, I think everyone relates to that. But it's, it really exposed, what this really exposed me is that, like, I'm not getting anxiety thing about, because I'm afraid, like, I go through the week and I don't get as much stuff done, and I'm going to come out of it and feel like I did take advantage of it. And the other part of me feels like I need to just relax and take advantage of the fact that I don't have to worry about anything. I just do what I want, per se. And I think what's bringing is, like, when we get so caught up in this, I hate the word system, but we get so caught up in just a routine of just, like, we do this, we go to work, we do this, like, that and that. Honestly, I almost don't know what to do with my free time. I mean actual free time. Not like, oh, I got a few hours today. I mean, like, I'm going to have a week where we're like, what the fuck? Jesus fucking Christ. That was actually kind of scary. Sorry. My, like, home security just wants to fucking go off for no fucking reason. But I'm legitimately going to have like 9 to 10 days of just fucking what? And I haven't had more than like 3 or 4 days off consecutively from a job, and God knows, I think legitimately 4 or 5 years. I'm not even exaggerating. I don't take vacations. I don't really do a whole lot of that stuff. And so I'm kind of like, should I just like podcast all week? Should I just like work out all the time? Or should I actually go and do some eventful shit? May cost a few buckaroos, but like really enjoy life. Maybe it's a balance, but I think what it really exposed me is like, man, like I'm someone that I like to feel like I have good control of my life. Like I maximize my free time and shit like that. But what this really exposed me, when you take out these 40, the 50, the sometimes 60 hour chunks of your life, you know, where you have a responsibility for financial and job and occupation, how much stuff do you really want to do? How much can you really do? Like, if we truly, like, honestly, if we just had an extra, let's just go on the lowest dominant. If you just had an extra 30 to 40 hours a week, honestly, what would you do with it? Would it be all beneficial? Or do we actually need these 30 to 40 hour chunks taken out of our week so we actually appreciate free time more? Because honestly, I would like to think now, knowing my knowledge of things, that I would maximize and use all that time for doing this and creating this and all. But honestly, I would probably, over time, nonchalantly, an extra 8 hours a week watching movies, or extra this, just fucking around, going to do this and doing that. And it wouldn't really be, quote unquote, driving to a bigger purpose or doing something more meaningful. I think we would like to think that, but I don't think that's how 99% of people would take advantage of it. Me included. I'm someone that I take great pride in taking advantage of that shit. But honestly, like this week, it's almost this 1 week that I'm gonna have. I'm just like, am I really gonna do I really need the extra 40 hours to do something? Am I just like that simply base-minded that I really have just become accustomed to just like, I don't really have a lot of interest outside of a few things because that's just kind of what I've been boxed into and forced based off circumstances? Or, you know, am I really that boring, you know, per se? So yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to be podcasting all the fucking time that week. Just to, you know, I've kind of recently have a renowned resurgence of inspiration. I was kind of getting drained from doing all this shit, but I've kind of regained that little energy boost, which is why you see me here today whenever this is recorded. But yeah, anyways, so I've talked about Shohei Ohtani a few times in this show. I don't really need to reintroduce. He's literally the biggest star in all of baseball right now. But apparently, it's funny how all this stuff comes out after this $700 million contract he has. All of a sudden, this stuff wants to come to the limelight. But apparently, this man's interpreter, you know, the man whose voice you actually hear when he's talking, this man supposedly, it first came off that Shohei voluntarily wired this man $4.5 million to pay off these gambling debts this guy had, right? Which, let's be honest, can we just really be honest about this shit? This man wouldn't have racked up a $4.5 million gambling debt if he knew he wasn't an interpreter for Shohei Ohtani who could bail him out of it. Let's just be honest. Like, he was just an interpreter for, you know, a courtroom, you know, because that's the job. Interpreter for, you know, court, to interpret someone who doesn't speak the native language. You know, he'd be getting paid a salary or an hourly wage. Probably hourly wage is the government. Government seems to always pay, except if you're, no, have insider trading. They seem to be very stingy with their pay. Like, oh yeah, $18 an hour for if you're a case, this, that, and the other. Like, oh, okay. I'm only deciding someone's livelihood here, but okay. That's cool. but this man racked up a $4.5 million gambling debt, which I'm going to assume he was probably getting paid well by Shohei. But obviously not $4.5 million, because otherwise he would have paid that $4.5 million. He's probably the highest paid interpreter in the history of anything, except for, like, you know, whoever does interpretation for these other countries during their NATO conferences. Because if they misinterpret an interpretation from the person they're interpreting, big consequences. It's like, wait, you told the Soviet Union we would bomb them? It's like, no, I said, it's like, no, I told you to tell them we want peace. Like, oh, I thought you said you want to bomb them. And now, you know, Ukraine. So interpretation is a pretty important job, especially when you're interpreting someone who's on paper $700 million before taxes. But this man, supposedly, now Shohei's team is coming out and saying, like, oh, actually, we didn't really wire that money. He kind of stole it. He kind of wired it himself. Apparently, he's a theft. So I don't know how someone wires $4.5 million out of your account and you don't know about it. Because apparently this was stuff that apparently Shohei has only found out, or Shohei's team has only found out about in the past couple days, in terms of, oh, we didn't wire that money. Because he was literally, the interpreter was with the team literally a couple days ago. They showed in the dugout, conversating with Shohei. They seem cool. If someone stole $4.5 million of my account, I don't care if I make it $80 billion. I am not sitting in a dugout being like, hey man, you know, we're not going to be in the same dugout. Let me just tell you that. His girlfriend's being dug out. But yeah, so that's what makes it weird. Because now what it does, like, show these teams come out, like, oh no, we did not wire him money. It's like, all right, you were making good money before, but if you were missing $4.5 million out of your account, you would have noticed. He wasn't making the $700 million yet. You're making, you know, a couple good years of baseball money, arbitration, got some good yearly salary, but wasn't making that. So he wouldn't notice. So there's speculation that maybe he's running the bets for Shohei, and Shohei's trying to cover it up. As Chris Carter would say, maybe he's using this interpreter as a fall guy. I honestly don't think Shohei was, and apparently, big disclaimer, is that apparently all these gambling debts, sports gambling debt, was on a lot of sports, but none of it was baseball, which makes it where it's legal what he was betting on. The issue is, did he steal money from Shohei to pay off his debts? And that's where the shit is kind of like, hey, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, look, gambling is a real thing, right? I get it. It's bad in a lot of ways. It's not great for you. But it really is only going to bring the worst out of people who couldn't handle it with their own means. And when you can't handle it with your own means, you're going to be reckless with other people's means. This man would not have racked a $4.5 million gambling debt if he did not have the occupation of being Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. Because you know what would happen? This man, if he didn't fill the security, there would be some bailout. That even if he gets too far into it, like, he's going to have to take out his own means to do it, right? This man would not have racked up that amount if he knew Shohei wasn't going to take care of it, right? Or was going to be able to take care of it, right? It's like Bruno Mars. And now all these stories, Bruno Mars is apparently has a big gambling issue. Cocaine and residency shows. Beautiful thing. Which, hey, you know, I like this cocaine Bruno Mars, you know. He's leaving the door open for working a lot of free shows for Vegas. This man apparently is up to $50 million in gambling debt. That's a report. And look, is it really $50 million? It probably, overall, the amount of debt he's accrued over time maybe have been that, but I'm sure he's paid a good bit of it off and then here and there. But there are reports that, like, he does gamble. Like, it is a real thing. Like, someone has said they've seen, like, they know someone who's a high-stakes player, and they've seen him lose $17 million in the matter of minutes. Like, but at these residency shows, he's making, like, quote-unquote, $90 million a year, so probably $50 million after tax, whatever you want to break it down. So, basically, the appeal of, like, the reason why these casinos and residency shows will pay you is because they know if you were there months and months, like, even if you're not a gambler, they're going to get some of that money back. So, the overinflated amount they give you, they're going to get a good portion of it back just because you're just around there all day. Like, it's the appeal. They make you feel great. They put you in these private, you know, rooms where you're playing with these crazy high rollers. You put X amount down. Like, they're going to get some of their money back. That's what these casinos are designed to do. But I think the issue is the Bruno Mars is like, hey, you know what? I'm not mad about it. I don't think his situation is a reason to ban gambling. It's just a warning sign that, hey, the issue is how much can you afford it, right? It's not of what Bruno is now the issue is now like, oh, he's basically kind of a slave to MGM. He's basically working for free for them. He's basically paying off his debts by working for them now. But they didn't make him bet on it. Sure, the environment's not conducive, but when you're, look, when you're into the things Bruno has been allegedly, he has vices, man. Like, but hey, that man puts on a hell of a show. So, but people are like, oh, these are examples why gambling should be. Well, the issue with the Shohei one is the Shohei one is apparently the dude was doing some illegal sports books, which may have been an issue, right? So that's a different thing, right? Illegal sports booking, tax, like, that's a little bit of a different issue where he's just betting through MG. He's betting through these companies that are protected, LLC, whatever. So it's just the moral aspect of it. People are using these two examples of why gambling should be banned, all this stuff. And I'm like, no. You know what? These are actually prime examples for why they shouldn't be banned. It should be examples of, hey, one guy is an example of, hey, his choice, his money, if he can afford to do it, let the man do it. The other guy is what happens when you have increased your value internally to such a level, Shohei's interpreter, that you start living vicariously through someone else's money that you didn't earn, but that someone else will bail you out and you kind of become this entitled person that no matter how big it racks up, I'm going to be all right. Bruno, no matter how much he racks up, he might be all right. But at the end of the day, it's his money that he's earning through his performance. So that's the big differential here. Both are telltale signs of each side of the fence. But at least one guy, there's at least a potential making his money back. Does he have a problem? Probably. But someone having a problem shouldn't make it illegal. He just maybe need a better friends group. Maybe he needs a better environment. He needs to not have yes men. By the end of the day, you cannot tell a grown man what to do or not to do with their money. Like, and the issue is when you have grown men taking advantage of another grown man's money, who's supplying, and they have built a personal kinship and attachment and friendship, and know if they're not going to help me, there's this guilt aspect, you know. So, you know, for me, I just think that this is not an example of why gambling should be banned. Vices should be allowed for a reason. They are a necessary evil to society. You know, we have people walk around bare feet. We have all these signs that say you can't. You gotta have feet to walk in the establishment. But you know what? Is it really worth the trouble? Be like, hey, I need to go to the car. Put your nasty ass sandals on. I'm sorry. Like, I cannot stand to see your angel rose tattoo on your ankle. But it looks nice. Bad job. I give it 5 out of 10. But I need you to put some sandals on. Alright. But I don't know. Look. But any who farts. And I'll say for me, you know, I haven't really gambled. Like, I've betted a few times in the past month. And I think it's an example of, like, hey, like, I enjoy it, but it's fine. I have a healthy relationship with it. And there are people with unhealthy relationships. So, yeah. Woohoo. Can I just say, I gotta say this. College basketball is one of the most interesting but also uninteresting sports we have now. And I mean men's college, because actually women's college basketball is quite entertaining now. Like, the ladies have gotten really, really good. There's a nice versatility to the game. And you're like, oh. There's actually a lot of really good players. College basketball, I honestly, like men's college basketball, I can name off the top of my head more women's college basketball players than men's college basketball players. Look, there's obviously the one and done thing. There's not really a whole lot of time to market, but I think it's more the approach. We have Kentucky getting bounced in the first round, losing to Oakland. And basically, the coach is like, yeah, look, this is just really a stopgap. It's a pit stop. It's not really about winning championships here anymore. Even though, like, 8 to 10 years ago when he had Anthony Davis, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, that's what it was all about. But all of a sudden now it's like, oh, honestly, just don't think they're getting the same caliber of elite players. They're still putting players in the league, but they're not putting those super, superstars, with the exception of, like, Shai Gilgeous and Tyler Herro's pretty good. But other than that, they're not really putting, like, the, like, just throwing them into the league like they used to. So that argument can't really be made. What the fuck? Is that her? Oh my god. and he jizz a boob. I don't know if you guys heard that. Basically, a cat lady at my door. oh my god. This random ass doorbell thing right here. I don't know if it's an actual cat outside or if it's a person. Either way, they need to get the voice. What the fuck is going on? Anyways, but yeah. I'm sorry, I'm so thrown off. I was talking about college basketball. okay. But yeah. I think if it wasn't for marketing, no one would care about college basketball. March Madness, which even though March Madness is now starting almost at the end of March, it's kind of like it actually used to start at the beginning of March, actually like end of February, beginning of March. It would literally last like 3 weeks to a month. Now it's like going to roll over in April and all this shit. It's kind of whatever. But I just don't think it makes anyone feel anything anymore. Like, there's no stakes to it. No one cares who wins the national championship. Literally, people only watch to see what upsets will happen. Because, like, once the favorites get through, people watch the game, but, like, no one really cares. Like, honestly, put it like this. Even the most casual college basketball, like, watch the tournament stuff. If you had asked them on the spot, name the last 3 or 4 national championships, they may be able to answer the year before. If it's been like 5 or 6 months, they would struggle with the year prior to that. It would take them time. Like, I can name the last 3 Super Bowl champs. Chiefs, and Tampa? Yeah. See, I can't even name the last NFL ones. And those are the easiest, right? Yeah, it was like Chiefs, Tampa. Something like that. Look, more of it. NBA, we got the Nuggets. The Lakers won the bubble one the year before. And then, I don't think anyone, no one cares about sports. No one cares who's winning. It's all about everything else in sports. Like, we pretend to care about winning, but what we remember is the upsets. We remember like, this team upset Kentucky. And we forget that in the second round, they get blasted by 28 points against a Mountain West team. So like, it'll be cool. But it's more of these things are more designed to just focus on the negative instead of focusing on the positive, if that makes sense. So I don't know. But yeah, I have nothing else to say. I was so distracted by that ring thing. But yeah, you know what? I felt inspired today. I felt inspired to inspire. And I aspire to rewire your tubes. all right, guys. I think I'm going to end it there. I think more of all this is stop going bare feet in 24-hour public places. And Shohei, keep your money at bay. Yep. All right, guys. Have a great day, morning, evening. That was episode 270 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe. Hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Titties. Yeah. And, the cat may have the spoon, but the dog has the fork to spoon, girl. And, you know, leave her paw prints on the floor. Rest in peace, Marilyn. All right, guys. I'll see you. Goddamn.